Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Story one. I live in Lyons, Colorado. Tiny town wedged between Boulder and the mountains. Back in 99, I was 18. My best friend Jake and I were killing time before college started, taking late night drives into the hills, listening to tapes, just bullshitting about the future like it wasn't rushing toward us. One night we hopped in my friend Erica's car. She was driving, her boyfriend Kyle riding shotgun. Jake and I were in the back. It was late, just past midnight. We were heading up the 119 toward Nederland. That drive's pitch black at night, winding and dead quiet. We weren't drunk or high or anything. Jake had this thing about staying sharp on the road. Said he liked to keep his brain clean when the world gets weird. At the time, I thought he was just being pretentious. We were halfway up the canyon when it happened. We just rounded one of those long, silent bends when I noticed something up ahead. Off the right side of the road? At first, I thought it was a weird set of floodlights or something from a construction site. But then we got closer and I saw it more clearly. There were three vertical columns of light, bright electric blue. Not like a spotlight or a beam that fades out as it goes higher. These were perfect, like solid cylinders stretching straight into the sky and down into the ground. No flicker, no movement, just there. They were maybe 300 yards off the road, behind a small ridge, just hovering in the air like someone had drawn them onto the dark with a ruler. I grabbed Jake's arm. Dude, what the hell is that? He leaned toward the window. His eyes went wide. What the? Do you see that? Erica, Kyle, look! We both started yelling. Look, look to the right. Do you guys see that? What is that? Nothing. They just kept talking, laughing about something on the radio, not even reacting. I leaned forward, nearly between their seats, practically shouting in Kyle's ear. Jake was pounding the back of Erica's seat. They didn't blink. I swear to God, it was like they couldn't hear us. We passed the lights, took maybe 30 seconds to go past them, and as soon as they were out of view, Kyle finally turned his head. What? I stared at him. Dude, what do you mean what? The lights. Didn't you see them? We were screaming at you. He frowned like I'd just spoken in a different language. What lights? Jake leaned forward. The three blue columns right off the road. You didn't see that? Erica glanced at him in the rear view. You guys okay? You've been dead quiet the whole drive. Jake and I just looked at each other. No, we weren't, I said slowly. We were yelling, screaming almost. Kyle shook his head. No, you weren't. I would have heard that. I hit your goddamn seat, Jake said. How the hell didn't you notice? There was this weird moment of silence then. Nobody said anything. Just the sound of tires on asphalt and the low hum of the engine. That's when I realized something. I had this awful pressure in my head, like I'd just come up too fast from deep underwater. Jake said he felt the same. It wasn't a headache. It was like something had clamped around my brain and then let go. And my watch, this cheap digital thing, was frozen, stuck at 12:06. That's about when we'd seen the lights. Pull over, I told Erica. She didn't. You're freaking me out, she said. Stop acting weird. I said nothing after that. Neither did Jake. We didn't tell anyone else for a long time. And even when we finally did, years later, after we'd moved away from Colorado, nobody believed us. They all said it must have been sleep deprivation or some weird hallucination from driving at night. But Jake and I, we both saw it. We both yelled. And we were both ignored in a way that makes zero sense. And those lights, They didn't move. They didn't flicker. They just stood there like someone had punched holes into our reality and filled them with something not meant to be seen. I did try to rationalize it. Construction equipment, maybe. Lasers from some secret lab. But nothing makes sense. Not with how Kyle and Erica acted. Not with that gap, that silence that stretched for 2 minutes while we screamed in their ears. It was like we were cut out for a moment, like we were in a different layer of the world than they were. I kept thinking about how perfectly quiet it had been. No insects, no wind, just those lights and a silence that felt unnatural, like the air itself had paused. Jake and I never went back to that road at night again, ever. We tried to, once, a year later, made it halfway up, just past the same bend, and both of us got hit with this intense nausea. Like our bodies remembered something we didn't. We turned the car around without saying a word. I don't know what we saw. I don't know what heard us screaming and chose to silence us. But I know what we didn't see again. Story 2. I used to live just outside Flagstaff, Arizona. Worked nights at a data center, mostly alone, handling server issues and doing security logs. The job itself wasn't bad, but the shift hours meant I'd often drive home around 2:30 in the morning, dead tired, barely a car on the road. That stretch of Route 89 past the abandoned church just outside town, I took it every single night for almost 4 years. Knew every mile of it, never once felt creeped out. Until that night. This was back in 2016. I remember it because it was the night after I got engaged. I was in a good mood, no stress, completely sober, and just trying to get home to crash. I took the usual turn onto the side road that loops past the old Calvary Baptist Church, this beat-up white structure with a rusted cross and a parking lot full of weeds. Locals say it burned partially in the 80s, and nobody ever restored it. As I rounded the bend, I slowed down automatically out of habit. There's usually a family of raccoons that hangs out near the trash bins there, but they weren't there that night. And the first thing that struck me, like really hit me, was how unnaturally dark it was. That lot always had this flickering floodlight buzzing from the side of the building, always, but it was completely black now, like someone had sucked all the light out of the air. Then I saw the red glow. Thought it was a cell tower at first, but it was floating. No structure, no support, nothing. It hung maybe 150 feet above the steeple, blinking erratically. Not a pattern, just chaos. Red, then dark, then red again, but never the same rhythm. I leaned forward in my seat, squinting, and that's when I slammed the brakes. There was something in the air. Hovering over the church, directly above the steeple, was this long, black, I don't even know what to call it. It wasn't a plane, wasn't a blimp. Picture a metallic cylinder the size of a passenger jet, totally still, just hanging there with no sound, no propellers, nothing. Off the sides of it were these vent-like things, three on each side, that looked like they should have been exhausts or something. But instead, they were casting beams of light. Wide beams, pure white, sweeping over the parking lot and the roof of the church like searchlights. Except here's the thing that really froze me. The light didn't act like normal light. It was slow. I don't even know how to explain it right. The beams moved across the ground like syrup, like they were dragging through the air, leaving a trail behind them that evaporated. And the area where they touched, it didn't just light up. It shimmered, almost like heat waves on asphalt, even though it was 40 degrees that night. I rolled down my window because I couldn't believe how silent it was. Nothing, no engine, no wind, no crickets, just dead quiet, like someone had hit mute on the world. I sat there whispering to myself, "What the fuck? What the fuck is that?" I even opened the door and stepped out onto the road without thinking, eyes glued to the thing. I must have stood there for 30 seconds, jaw hanging open, trying to wrap my brain around what I was looking at. Then it moved, not slowly, not gradually. It just snapped sideways. Like if you were dragging something across a table and suddenly let go of it, the thing jerked to the right maybe 100 feet in a split second, still silent, still hovering. My brain just stuttered. I felt that cold flush of adrenaline all through my chest. I backed up toward my car and I remember looking up and seeing that red blinking light again, still above the main ship, but now dimmer, like it was retreating or getting absorbed. Then everything happened at once. The airship tilted slightly, like it adjusted its angle, and without warning, it shot upward into the sky. Not like a rocket, not with acceleration, it just vanished. A burst of wind hit me a second later, like the air collapsed where it had been, and just like that, it was gone. The lot lights flickered back on maybe 5 seconds after. The crickets started up again. I swear, it was like someone unpaused reality. I stood there, heart racing, staring at the empty sky, and thinking, I am never going to be able to explain this. I got back in the car and just sat for a while with my hands gripping the wheel. My mouth was so dry, I kept checking my phone like an idiot, even though I knew the camera would have caught nothing but black blur. It was
coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
An old BlackBerry with a trash lens. I didn't even try to take a picture. I was too locked up in the moment. The whole drive home, I kept the radio off and my windows open. I couldn't stop glancing at the sky, expecting to see it again, but it was just stars and empty desert. When I told my fiance the next day, she kind of nodded and said, maybe it was military, and didn't bring it up again. None of my friends took it seriously. I tried posting about it anonymously once, but the responses were all jokes or insults, so I dropped it. But I don't take that road anymore, not even in daylight. There's a longer route that adds 20 minutes to my commute, and I take it every damn time. Because whatever that was, it wasn't a plane, it wasn't a drone, and it wasn't human. I don't need anyone to believe me. I just need to never see it again. Story 3. I live in a little farming town outside of Lubbock, Texas. Flat land in every direction, where the sky feels too big, like it's pressing down on you. I'm not the kind of person who believes in aliens, ghosts, or any of that crap. I work early mornings at a grain elevator, and on weekends I help my uncle with cattle. I don't go chasing lights in the sky or make up stories for clicks. But what I saw last summer, just before wheat harvest, it shook something loose in me. I haven't talked to anyone about it until now. It was about 2:15 in the afternoon. Sun was high, burning hot. I remember because I had my sunglasses on, and the air conditioner in the truck was barely keeping up. I just finished dropping off some parts for my uncle's tractor in Lorenzo and was heading west down County Road 732. Dead straight, no traffic, just miles of dry fields on both sides. Nothing weird about that. I've driven that stretch 100 times. I could do it in my sleep. I was maybe 10 minutes out when I caught something out of the corner of my eye. Bright white, almost silver. Thought at first it was just a glint off a plane or maybe a jet high up. But then it got brighter, way brighter. I turned my head and saw this thing dropping from the sky, fast, like really fast. At first it looked like a shooting star, but wrong. Too big, too close. It was this blazing ball of white light with a long tail behind it, like something tearing through the sky. And here's the part that freaked me out. It hurt to look at, even through my sunglasses. Like it wasn't just light, it was heat. Raw. I slowed down without even thinking and pulled off into the grass. Just stopped there. Engine idling. Door open. I stepped out and watched it fall. I couldn't take my eyes off it. It was coming straight down, totally vertical, and fast enough that I figured it was going to slam into the earth and make a crater. I actually remember bracing myself, like instinctively clenching my teeth waiting for the boom. But there was no sound. I reached for my phone to try and record it, but I was fumbling. Couldn't get it out of my pocket without looking away, and I didn't want to look away. Then it did something that made my stomach turn over. It stopped falling. Right at eye level, maybe 200 feet up, it just stopped like it hit a wall. Then it tilted, hard. 1 second it was dropping straight down, and the next it was flying horizontally. Perfect 90-degree angle. Smooth as anything I've ever seen. No arc, no curve, just a dead stop and change in direction, like physics didn't matter anymore. I swear to God it made no noise. No engine, no whoosh, no nothing. It just cruised sideways right above the field, behind the tree line across the road. I followed it with my eyes until it was gone. And then the silence really hit me. That was the worst part. Everything around me was dead quiet. Not even wind. No bugs. No distant tractor hum. Just this awful, heavy stillness that made my skin crawl. I didn't even realize I was holding my breath until I started to feel dizzy. I stood there for a few more seconds, hands still clenched around my phone, heart hammering in my chest like I just run a mile. Then something weird happened. I felt watched, like something was still out there behind those trees. I can't explain it. It wasn't a sound or a shadow, just this awful pressure, like something was peering back at me, measuring. That's when I said screw it and got back in the truck. I didn't even shut the door all the way before I jammed it into gear and tore out of there. Tires kicked up dirt all over the road. I didn't stop until I got back to town. Didn't say a word about it to my uncle. Didn't tell my buddies. What would I even say? Hey, I saw a ball of fire stop in midair and take off sideways like a drone with God's own engine? They'd laugh me out of the bar. But it wasn't a drone. No way. Drones don't glow like suns. They don't drop out of the sky going Mach 10 and then zip off in silence. And nothing man-made moves like that. Nothing I've ever seen anyway. I drove back down that road a few days later just to see if there was a burn mark or some kind of crater where it might have hit before changing direction. But there was nothing. No sign anything had ever been there. Just grass and wheat, waving in the wind like always. And that's the part I can't shake. Whatever it was real. I saw it with my own eyes, and it did something that broke every rule I thought I understood about the world. That freaks me out more than anything. The idea that something out there isn't playing by our rules, that it doesn't have to. Story 4. I don't talk about this much, not even to my brother, and I was with someone when it happened, so I know I'm not crazy. But if I'm being honest, I wish I could forget it. I've never felt so powerless in my life. I'm from Tallahassee, born and raised. Grew up thinking ghost stories and alien crap were just stuff people used to pass the time on slow nights. That changed 2 years ago. I was down in Naples, Florida for a few days, crashing at my buddy Travis's dad's place. Travis had moved down there after high school and invited me to come hang out, get away from things. His dad lives in one of those small condos, tucked behind a bunch of palm trees, real quiet street. It was our second night. We were just chilling on the back porch, smoking and talking about dumb stuff from high school. It was late, maybe 11, maybe later, I'm not sure. The porch light was off. We liked it dark. I remember leaning on the railing, facing the trees. I had just lit another smoke when I noticed something up in the sky, behind the palms. Looked like a plane at first, white light. No big deal. But then it dipped. Hard. Planes don't move like that. It looked like it turned straight toward us, descending real low. I remember squinting into the glare and saying, "You seeing that?" Travis stood up and leaned over next to me. "What the hell is that? A helicopter?" "Nah, man, too quiet," I said. And that's when I realized how quiet it was. You know how there's always some kind of background sound? bugs, breeze, distant cars. Not then. Everything felt frozen, like even the night was holding its breath. This thing, it wasn't a plane, not a helicopter either. It got closer and closer until the lights were right on us. Three giant circles of light on the underside, each one glowing this weird cold white. But the shape, Jesus, it was a triangle. Massive, flat, matte black. No reflections. It was flying so low, I swear I could have hit it with a rock. We were maybe 20 feet above sea level, and this thing was just above the tops of the trees. Gliding, silent, not a hum, not a buzz, just the leaves under it rustling as it passed over. I started backing up, just instinct. I reached for my phone, left it inside. Travis grabbed his, but it was dead. I'll never forget the look he gave me. Panic. Pure panic. "What do we do?" he whispered, like it could hear us. "Nothing," I said. "Just don't move." We were frozen, just watching it pass. It wasn't fast either. It was like it wanted us to see it, like it was showing off. Then, swear to God, it stopped, right in front of us. Didn't slow down, just stopped, like it hit a wall. It hovered there for maybe 2 seconds, that's all. But it felt like time broke in half. My stomach dropped, and every part of me screamed to run, but my legs wouldn't move. And then it turned. It didn't arc or curve. It pivoted, like something out of a video game. That huge thing, probably the size of a damn football field, rotated on a single point. One smooth, perfect 90-degree turn. And then it was gone. Not gone like flew off fast. I mean gone, like someone cut it out of the sky. No noise, no gust of wind. 1 second it was there. Next second, nothing. I heard Travis exhale like he'd been drowning. I realized I was gripping the porch railing so hard my knuckles were white. We stood there in the dark, silent for I don't even know how long. My heart was pounding so hard it felt like it was going to break my ribs. Finally, Travis said, "Did we just see a goddamn UFO?" I didn't answer. I just went inside, locked the sliding glass door, and sat on the couch. I couldn't even speak. He followed me in, looking just as pale. We didn't say another word about it that night. The next morning, we both acted like it hadn't happened. Made breakfast, talked about surfing, the usual crap. But when I got back home to Tallahassee, it started creeping in. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw that thing just stop midair. Saw the lights, felt the silence. I tried Googling it. Triangle UFO Florida. Turns out a lot of people have seen the same exact thing. Massive black triangle. Three white lights, silent, low, always at night, always gone in a flash. I even messaged a guy on a forum who posted a sketch of something just like it. He said he saw it in Arizona. Same description, same movement, same soundlessness. I haven't been back to Naples since. Travis moved up to Orlando 6 months later, said he couldn't sleep right in that house anymore. I didn't ask him why. I know what I saw, and whatever that thing was, it wasn't from here. No way. I used to laugh at people who said they saw UFOs. Now I think the only reason more people don't talk about them is because once you see one, you don't want to talk about it. You just want to forget. But I can't. Not when I see the shape of that thing every time I close my eyes. Not when I still hear the way the world stopped while it hovered above us. Story 5. I live just outside of Worcester, Massachusetts. But this happened while we were vacationing on Plum Island sometime around 2012. My parents rented a little house close to the marsh. It was quiet, no neighbors for a few hundred yards, just grass, beach, and the ocean. The kind of place that gets dead silent after dark. I was maybe 16 at the time. It was late afternoon, still bright out, and we were sitting on the deck after an early dinner. My dad pointed up at the sky and said, "That star's out early." I glanced up. At first it did look like a star. White, bright, just sitting there. But the sky was still blue. You don't see stars that early. My brother, who was into astronomy back then, ran inside to get the telescope he brought. He set it up, messed with the lens a bit, and then went totally quiet. I was leaning on the railing, watching him. Then he waved me over without looking away. "Come here, look at this. Seriously." I bent down and looked. It wasn't a star. It was round, maybe the size of a planet if you were guessing by eye, but the surface was wrong. It had these tiny black things all over it, like bugs, dozens of them, crawling. You couldn't see what they were exactly, but they moved in quick, spidery lines. They were swarming the surface. "What the hell?" I said, stepping back. Dad looked next, then my brother again. We all took turns and said the same thing. "What are those things?" It wasn't drifting like a balloon or plane. It held its position, but every few minutes it would sort of twitch, like a glitch in a video game, and be in a slightly different spot. "Could be a satellite," my dad said, but he didn't sound convinced. "Or a drone. Maybe something experimental." "But what's crawling on it?" my brother said. "That's not right." At some point, we all stopped looking through the scope and just watched it with the naked eye. It was bright and clear, but still unmoving. Then something detached from it. It dropped. Slow at first. A glow, like a smaller version of the object, but definitely descending. We all saw it. No noise, no trail, just a glowing shape falling from the sky. My brother and dad ran to the car without a word. I stayed with the telescope, keeping the big thing in view, but it didn't move again. The glow, whatever had dropped, vanished into the bushes near the marsh about half a mile away. I waited. Maybe 15 minutes passed. Then I saw the car coming back down the road, fast. They parked crooked and both jumped out. My brother slammed the door and yelled, "It landed!" I swear to God, it landed right in the brush by that dirt path. My dad was pale, like bone white. "It's still there, still glowing," he said. "We didn't get too close." "What do you mean still there?" I asked. He didn't answer, just kept looking up. But the big object was gone. Not drifted off, gone. We didn't go back to look. None of us wanted to. That night, nobody said much. We just went inside, turned on the TV, and pretended it didn't happen. But I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking about what was on the surface of that thing. Those black specks crawling like insects. And the glow that dropped like an egg. Here's the part that still messes with me. 2 days later, my brother got curious and tried to go back out there. The bushes were burned. I'm serious. Charred, blackened, like something scorched a hole into the ground. Not a fire, no ash. Just a melted-looking patch of earth where the thing supposedly landed. We told a ranger. He walked out, looked around, shrugged, and said it was probably a lightning strike. In broad daylight, with no storm? Right. I've looked into satellite data, amateur astronomy records, even weird UFO forums to try and find anything that matches what we saw. I've never come close. It wasn't a plane, a drone, a flare, or a balloon. That thing up there had something living on it, and whatever it dropped, whatever hit the ground, was glowing and hot enough to scorch a landing site. We weren't drunk. We weren't sleep deprived. We were just on vacation, messing around with a telescope. I can still hear my brother's voice shaking when he got out of the car. "It landed, it landed." I'll never forget how quiet it got right before that thing disappeared. No bugs, no wind, not even waves, just total unnatural silence. And then it was gone, like it was never there. Story 6. I grew up in a tiny town called Las Animas, Colorado. The kind of place where there's more cows than people. And if you stand on your porch at night, you can see every single star in the sky. My family had this old ranch-style house out past the highway, surrounded by nothing but fields and silence. I was 8 years old when this happened, and for some reason, it stayed sharper in my memory than anything else from that time. It was late, around 9 p.m., I think. I remember that because I wasn't supposed to be up, but I was hiding under my blanket with my little battery-powered radio. I used to listen to the local station every night. Some old guy named Mitch did weather and ghost stories and stuff like that. It was comforting, honestly. Just a voice in the dark while the crickets chirped outside. But that night, the voice cut out mid-sentence. Just static. I thought maybe the batteries were dying, or it was just a weird signal thing. This was the middle of nowhere after all. But something felt off. I turned the dial back and forth, tried other stations. Nothing but this loud, hissing static. No voices, no music. Just white noise like the world went dead. And that's when I noticed how quiet everything was. No crickets, no wind, not even the buzz from the old light in the hallway. It was like the whole house, hell, the whole world, just hit pause. I got up, nervous, and went to look out the window. We lived at the end of a dirt road with only a few other houses in the distance. I could usually see the glow from the streetlights near the main road, but they were all out. Total blackout. Everything was pitch black except for the stars. And then I looked up. I swear to God, above our house, just sitting there, motionless in the sky, were these two things. They weren't shaped like planes or anything I'd seen before. Just two perfect vertical lines, one red, one blue, hovering completely still against the stars. Like someone drew them in the sky with a laser pointer and hit pause. I remember freezing right there with my hand still on the curtain. I couldn't look away. Then they moved. They didn't drift. They didn't glide. They snapped into motion like someone hit fast forward. They started circling each other, tight, fast loops like two wasps in a fight. It didn't make sense how fast they were spinning. No blur, no sound, just impossibly fast movement like they were caught in a loop. And then, without warning, they shot straight up. Not away, straight into the sky. Gone in less than a second. Just zip. And they were blips, then nothing. And the second they vanished, the radio clicked back on. I actually jumped. It was that sudden. Mitch's voice came back mid-sentence like nothing had happened. The hallway light buzzed to life. I could hear wind against the window again and a car passing way out near the highway. Everything just resumed. I stood there for a full minute, trying to understand what just happened. I wasn't dreaming. I wasn't half asleep. I was fully awake and aware and scared out of my mind. I ran to my dad's room, shaking him awake. "There's something in the sky," I shouted. He sat up groggy. "What the hell are you talking about?" I dragged him to the window, but there was nothing there now, just stars. The streetlights were back on. Everything looked totally normal again. "I swear," I said, "there were two lights, red and blue. They were spinning and then they shot up." He just stared at me for a few seconds and rubbed his face. "It was probably a helicopter," he muttered. "You've been watching too many X-Files with your uncle." But it wasn't a helicopter. It wasn't anything from Earth. And I think what scared me the most wasn't just what I saw. It was how wrong the silence felt, like the world had shut itself off while they were above our house. The animals went quiet. The wind stopped. Even the electricity in the air felt dead. I know that sounds dramatic, but if you've ever been in the woods and suddenly all the noise stops at once, you know that feeling, that instinctive terror. Something was nearby that didn't belong. I never saw them again. Nothing weird happened after that. I kept checking the sky every night for weeks, though. I'd sit by the window and stare until I couldn't keep my eyes open anymore, but nothing ever came back. Years later, when I was in high school, I told one of my teachers about it during a UFO discussion in class. She just nodded and said, "That part of Colorado's full of weird Air Force tests." Maybe that's true, but I've never seen a jet or a drone move like that, and I've never felt time stop like it did that night. That's the part that gets me. It wasn't just a sighting. It was like the world knew something unnatural was above us and shut down until it was gone. To this day, I don't talk about it much. My dad still thinks I imagined it, but I didn't. I saw something real that night, and I'll never forget how quiet everything was while it hovered over our house. Like the planet itself was holding its breath. Story 7. I'm not the type to talk about this stuff. I don't believe in ghosts, I don't follow UFO sightings, and I've never been into conspiracy theories. I work swing shifts at a tire shop just outside Bakersfield, California, and most nights I just drive home, heat up leftovers, and crash. No psychedelics, no health issues, nothing like that. I'm telling you this because I know how crazy this all sounds, but I swear it happened, every second of it. This was a few months ago. My friend Danny and I were driving back from Fresno, maybe around 10:30 at night. We'd gone up there for a late night bite after work. The freeway was empty, just dark pavement stretching ahead of us with barely a car in sight. I was driving, Danny was in the passenger seat scrolling through his phone. Normal night, just music low on the speakers, windows cracked, And then something changed. I don't know how else to explain it, but everything suddenly felt far. Not in the poetic way, like literally far, like my depth perception just gave out. The road, the dashboard, even the steering wheel felt like it was 10 feet away. Then my chest tightened up, not like anxiety, more like pressure, like something heavy was sitting on my sternum. I tried to say something, but my jaw felt locked. My throat was working, but no sound was coming out. I was trying to speak and couldn't, and my vision was getting blurrier by the second. I was panicking internally, thinking I might be having a stroke. I kept telling myself, name things, say what you see, keep your brain active. But my brain wasn't cooperating. 7 minutes passed. I know because I glanced at the dashboard clock obsessively. Then Danny suddenly speaks up. Casual as hell, he goes, it's awkward with the silence. I turned and looked at him and forced out, dude, everything's blurry. His face went pale. Me too. I asked him if he felt like he couldn't talk, like his throat was frozen, and he nods slowly. Then he added, and my chest, it's like there's a weight on it. That freaked me out more than anything. I thought it was just me, some kind of freak medical thing, but now we were both feeling it at the same time. We just sat there for a while, not even listening to music anymore. Dead silence except for the tires on the asphalt. We kept describing it to each other over and over, trying to figure out if it made any sense. Danny said it felt metallic. That's the word he used. Not like a taste or a smell, just the feeling of metal, heavy and sterile and cold. I dropped him off maybe 20 minutes later. Neither of us really knew what to say. He just got out, stared at me for a second like he was going to say something else, then walked into his house. I still had a 10-minute drive back to my place. Down a mostly empty rural road. That's when the lights started going out. First one street light went out as I passed under it. Just blinked and died. Then a few seconds later, another. Then another. No flickering. Just dead silence and darkness each time. I drove faster. I was thinking maybe the city grid was having a problem. But when I looked in the rearview mirror, all the lights behind me were still on. Only the ones above me were going out. Right as I passed under them, one by one. I was shaking when I pulled into my driveway. My hands were damp. I didn't want to get out of the car. I just sat there, engine still running, doors locked, trying to breathe. Then I saw it. At first I thought it was a plane or a drone. A single light, blue, just hovering high above the trees, not moving, not blinking. I fumbled for my phone, aimed the camera up at it, and the moment I did, the light turned red. No fade, just an instant switch. But on my screen, there was nothing. The camera couldn't see it. I looked up, red. Looked back at my phone screen, black. I dropped the phone in the passenger seat. When I looked back up, the light was blue again. That was it for me. I threw the car into reverse, backed out of the driveway, and just started driving around the block. I couldn't go inside. I didn't want to be alone. Eventually, I called Danny. We just stayed on the line, not saying much. Both of us were freaked out. I ended up parking back in front of my house. Still didn't want to go in, but I figured I couldn't sit there all night. I was texting my sister, telling her about the weird light, when I heard something behind my car. It was this sound, man, like a wooden stick being dragged across one of those old washboards. Ooh, 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 ooh. Soft but rhythmic, not a machine. Not an animal. Nothing I've ever heard before. I turned around and saw something white, pale, like almost glowing, move quickly behind my trunk. Not human. Not anything. I slammed the door locks again, even though I was already locked in. My skin went ice cold. My mouth dried out instantly. I was just staring at the rear window, waiting to see it again, but nothing came. I called Danny again, told him something just passed behind my car. He said, don't go inside. I didn't plan to. He said he was on his way. While I waited, I kept glancing up at the sky. The light was gone. When Danny finally pulled up, I jumped out of the car and basically ran to his. I didn't even care how it looked. I stayed at his place that night. Didn't sleep. We didn't talk about it anymore. Just sat in silence, watching the clock. The next day I checked with the city. No reported outages, no streetlight maintenance, no drone activity in that area, nothing. I've had dreams since then, vivid ones, like I'm floating above my bed, unable to move, and something staring at me from the corner of the ceiling. But I can't tell if that's just anxiety or if something really happened that night. I know this sounds crazy, but if it was just panic or coincidence, how do two people feel the exact same thing at the same time, in the same car, without warning? And if it wasn't in our heads, then what the hell was it? Story 8. I used to live in this small apartment complex in Southern Oregon, just outside Medford. Kind of a boring spot, quiet, cheap rent. Nothing ever really happened there. Right behind the building was this nature trail that ran for about 2 miles through some scrubby woods. Not deep forest or anything, just a bunch of pines, dried leaves, and the occasional picnic bench someone had dragged in. I'd take walks there a lot, especially at night, just to clear my head, listen to a podcast, zone out. Nothing creepy about it, until one night something happened that I still can't explain. It was late October. I remember because there were dead leaves all over the sidewalk, and the air had that weird metallic smell like it does before it rains. I got off work at 8:30, changed, and went out around 9. I had my hoodie on, headphones in, just doing my usual loop through the trail. About 10 minutes in, my phone buzzed, low battery. So I pulled out the earbuds and figured I'd finish the walk in silence. And I'm glad I did, because otherwise I probably wouldn't have heard it. At first it sounded like wind through the trees, or maybe some dry branches cracking. Nothing that odd, but then I realized it had this rhythm, not natural, like someone dragging something heavy through the brush. I stopped walking. Whatever it wasn't far. Maybe 20 feet off the trail, just past the tree line to my right. I stood there squinting into the dark. Could have been a deer, I thought, or a bear. There are bears around here, though they usually keep to the deeper woods. But this thing wasn't walking like an animal. It had a pattern to it, a kind of stop-and-go pacing, like it was stalking something. And then it made this sound. I swear to God, it was like a scream, but not human. High-pitched, shrill, but with this static to it, like when an old radio catches feedback. It made my stomach drop. I froze, didn't even breathe. That's when I saw the shrubs move, not rustling in the wind. This was fast, like something was crouching low and shifting its weight. I called out, "Hello?" No answer. Just a low, wet snorting sound, almost like someone trying to clear their throat, but way too deep. Guttural. And there was this smell, chemical, like burnt plastic mixed with rotten eggs. It hit me all at once and I gagged. Whatever was in there was crouched, definitely not taller than 5 feet. I couldn't make out any features, it was too dark, but I could feel it watching me. Not animal curiosity, focused, like it was studying me. I backed up, slow. My sneakers crunched on the gravel, and the moment I moved, the thing twitched. It didn't run. It didn't charge. It shifted, like it was preparing. I didn't wait. I turned and sprinted, full-on panic run. I didn't even look back. The sound it made as I ran was burned into my head forever, this distorted, electric shriek that sounded like it came from inside my ears. I felt it vibrate in my jaw. I got back to the parking lot in probably 2 minutes flat, slammed through my apartment door, locked it, and didn't sleep the whole night. Kept all the lights on. Every time a car passed, I jumped. The next morning, I convinced myself I'd overreacted. Probably a wild animal with some weird call. Maybe a fox or a raccoon caught in something. Hell, even a sick deer might scream like that, right? So I went back, not deep into the trail, just far enough to reach the spot. It was quiet, too quiet, no birds, no squirrels, nothing. And on the side of the trail where I'd seen the movement, the brush was flattened, like something heavy had knelt there. I swear I could see these small, deep impressions in the dirt, four in a circle, like fingertips, but too long, way too long. There was also this weird powder. I don't even know how to explain it. Grayish, almost metallic dust spread in patches on the leaves and twigs. I poked at it with a stick and it clumped like ash. smelled sharp like ozone. That was it for me. I turned around and never walked that trail again. Not at night, not ever. I moved out 2 months later, closer to downtown. I've never told anyone about it. What do you even say? Hey, I think I saw a crouching alien behind my apartment, and it screamed static into my skull. But here's the part that really messed me up. A couple weeks after the incident, I ran into my downstairs neighbor, a guy named Rob. We were both taking the trash out. He looked rough, red eyes, jittery, like he hadn't slept in days. I asked him, "You good, man?" He stared at me for a second, then said, "You ever hear something out there at night, like screaming?" I didn't answer, just nodded. Then he said, "I saw it too, thing with no eyes." And he just walked back inside. I haven't spoken to him since. Whatever it was in those woods, it wasn't from here. I know how that sounds, I know. But I also know what I felt that night, like something old and wrong was watching me, studying me. And whatever it wanted, I don't think it was food. I never heard the scream again. Story 9. I live in a small town outside Lexington, Kentucky now. But this happened long before I even knew what a small town really meant. I was 3 or 4, just old enough to remember pieces of things, memories that don't make sense but stick around anyway. My parents dropped me off at my grandma's house for a weekend. She lived in this worn-down one-story house on the edge of farmland, tucked into the woods. You couldn't hear cars, just bugs, frogs, wind. That kind of quiet that only gets interrupted by something wrong. It started with a sound, not a sound I can name. It wasn't thunder, wasn't a car engine, but it rolled through my chest like both. Woke me out of a dead sleep like it pulled me up. I remember sitting up in bed and not knowing why I felt scared, but I did. Everything was still, but my heart was hammering like something had just chased me. The whole room was lit up, white, bright, pure white light pouring in through the window like it was noon. Except it was 2 a.m. and pitch black outside when I'd fallen asleep. I wasn't supposed to be able to reach the window, but I did. I climbed onto the old trunk next to the bed and looked out. And that's when it got weird. There was no car, no floodlight, no moon. Just the whole backyard bathed in this silent, blinding light and floating shapes. Not flying, floating. Perfectly still, no movement, no sound. Round, smooth. Like metal, but not shiny. It felt like looking at something pretending to be a shape, you know. I must have blacked out. There's a blank spot. I don't remember getting off the trunk or lying back down. But suddenly, I was on the bed again, and there were people in the room. Adults, but not my parents. Not my grandma. Not people. I couldn't move. I wasn't scared anymore, though. That's the part I don't like remembering. How not scared I was. They were tall, but not huge. Thin. Faces I can't quite describe, like they were behind a veil or a foggy mirror. I remember trying to see their eyes and feeling watched instead. They stood around me in a loose circle. I felt warm, like I just stepped out of a bath. The air smelled like static. One of them leaned in real close. I thought it was going to say something, but no sound came out. I heard something, though, inside. It wasn't English, wasn't words. Just this wave of something, familiar but totally alien. My chest hurt like I was holding my breath, but I wasn't. And then, gone. No light, no people. Just me, lying on top of the covers, which I never did, staring at the ceiling with my arms at my sides like I'd been posed. The room smelled like metal. My throat was dry. I sat up fast and the whole house was still dark. No noise, no footsteps, no car outside. Just silence again. I ran down the hallway yelling for my grandma. I don't know how long I was yelling, but when she finally came out of her room, she looked like she'd been crying. Her eyes were puffy and her face was pale. She hugged me tight and just said, "You were sleepwalking, baby. You had a dream." Over and over again. But here's the thing. I wasn't sleepwalking. I've never sleepwalked before or since, and I remember everything. The next morning, I asked about the light. She said there was no storm, no helicopter, no neighbors with bright lights, just a normal night. That was the last time I stayed at her place overnight. But here's where it gets worse. Ever since then, I've seen them, or at least I've seen something. Not constantly, but once in a while. Always in the sky, never close. Lights that zigzag, hover, vanish. Not planes, not drones. Just watching. And when I do see them, it's that same damn feeling. Unfamiliar, but safe. Like something checking in. I told my mom once when I was older, told her about the light, the noise, the people in the room. She got real quiet and didn't say anything for a while. Then she told me, "You know your Uncle Brian used to talk about lights out there when he was little? Used to draw pictures of them. Your grandma would get so mad, said he was making stuff up. Uncle Brian died when he was 10, fell through the ice on a pond near that same house. But you want to hear something weird? There was no pond. Not anymore. Dried up years ago. But I looked at an old aerial photo from the 60s once. There was a pond. Right where I remember the light being the brightest. And the trunk I stood on that night. It's still in my parents' garage. I opened it last year when I was helping them clean. There's a weird burn mark on the top. Circular, smooth, nothing else around it. I'm not saying I was abducted. I've never lost time. I've never had dreams or scars or weird implants. But I was visited. I know I was. Story 10. I don't really talk about this anymore. Not because I'm scared of people laughing, though they do, but because it messes with my head. I'm fact-driven. I trust what I can explain. But this doesn't line up with anything I know, and I've tried. I was 12 when it happened. We lived in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, middle of nowhere farmland, surrounded by wheat fields and pine. Our house sat on a wide stretch of land, driveway long enough to feel like a hike at that age. A radio station was across the road. Not a big one, just a squat building and a red-lit tower out in a field. Neighbor's barn light visible through a thick wall of trees on the west side. Other than that, it was dark country. Crickets, frogs, wind in the trees. That was the whole soundtrack most nights. I was up late with my mom and older brother watching some stupid show. Dad and my little brother were already asleep. The house went black without warning. TV off, lights gone, fridge silent. Everything just died. We stepped out onto the front porch to see if it was just us. The neighbor's barn light, usually visible through the trees, was out. That never happened. Then through the still air, we heard a voice shouting from across the road. "I can't get the generator to start, Ted. Can you call Chris and get him up here ASAP? That radio station was supposed to have backup power. The guy sounded panicked. Then headlights appeared on the road, an old sedan coming up the hill. And just as it passed the end of our driveway, it slowed, coasted, and came to a dead stop. No brake lights, no engine sounds. Just rolled to the shoulder and died. My brother offered to go check. He jogged the full stretch of the driveway while we watched from the porch. A minute later, he came jogging back. "Car's completely dead. No power. Can't even pop the hood." Right then, this massive blue light tore across the sky above our backyard. Not a beam, not a spotlight. A full orb. I swear it had size, like you could measure it. Moved fast, too fast. From above the pine tree line behind the house, straight over us, to the field across the road. Silent. No hum, no whoosh. Just gone in a blink. We stood there frozen, all three of us. My brother actually said it first, "What the fuck was that?" Then from across the road from the station, "What the fuck was that?" Same words, same tone. My mom bolted inside. She was shouting for Dad, for my little brother. Me and my brother followed her in. "I can't wake them up. They won't wake up." She was crying. I ran into the bedroom and there they were. My dad and little brother, curled up in bed, breathing normally but drenched in sweat. Dead asleep. I shook my dad hard. Nothing. I slapped his face. Nothing. He didn't even twitch. Phones were dead too. Cell, landline, both useless. We ran back outside and started shouting across the lawn to the guys at the station. They shouted back, said they couldn't get anyone on the radio. Their equipment was down. My brother yelled back, "Yeah, we're fine. Just a lot of weird shit happening over here." That's when it got worse. Above the tree line on the west side where the pines begin, two lights appeared. Not orbs like before. These were smaller, white, maybe with a tinge of blue. They danced, I mean literally danced, like intelligent movement. They dart right, loop around each other, zip up, drop straight down, spiral together. It looked playful at first, then it got fast. I've never seen anything move like that. Not a drone, not a plane, nothing. I said, "Oh, what is going on, dude?" My brother just kept whispering, "Holy shit," over and over. Then they slowed, dropped lower, and we realized something that still messes with me. The lights weren't floating freely. They were attached. Attached to something. A shape. A mass. But you couldn't see it. Just the distortion of the stars behind it, warping slightly as it moved across the tree line. It crept from north to south, slow, deliberate. Then it rose, fast, like something shot it on a rail straight up into the sky. Gone, just gone. My mom had been watching all this from the glass door in her room. I didn't realize it until she screamed when the power popped back on. Not gradually, just snap, like nothing happened. Lights on, fridge humming, porch light clicked back in. We ran inside. She was in the bathroom splashing water on her face, visibly shaking. We turned around when we heard tires on gravel. That sedan, the one that died at the end of the driveway, its headlights came on. Engine roared to life. It peeled off down the road like a bat out of hell. Neighbor's barn light blinked back on. The radio tower across the road lit up like normal. Then, as if on cue, my dad stumbled out of the bedroom, rubbing his eyes. "Why are you all in here? What's going on?" He looked genuinely confused, like we'd just woken him up at 3 a.m. on a normal night. Mom told him everything. He laughed, said we must not have tried very hard to wake him. Same with my brother. He claimed he was just tired. They didn't get it. They couldn't. Next day, Mom bought a rifle. She said it was just in case. She also bought a telescope and about 5 alien books. She didn't let the rifle out of her sight for a week. A few days later, 2 men came to the house. Said they worked for an aerial survey company, wanted to offer us pictures of our house taken from a recent flyover. Said our neighbors already bought theirs and told them about the crazy story we had. My brother watched from inside. He swears, he saw guns under their jackets, large pistols tucked at their backs. Could have been locals, but something felt off, especially when he caught the guy in their van taking pictures again. When he asked them about it, they got in the van and left fast. We wrote down the plate and passed it to the only cop who had bothered to take our statement. A month later, he called back. "That license plate traces back to a federal agency." That's all he said. Wouldn't elaborate. I've told this story maybe 3 times since it happened. No one believes us. Not fully. But I don't care anymore. Me and my brother, we know what we saw. We nod at each other when someone brings up UFOs. We don't need to talk about it. It happened. I know it did. And if it ever happens again, I don't think we'll be lucky enough to just watch.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get 2 select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.